Well, we're taking a look at orchids and other tropical plants on Garden Talk today. I'm Jill Nadeau. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network. And back with us from Old Brick Botanical Gardens are Colton Blackburn, the conservatory curator, and Terry Hodge, the conservatory and orchid horticulturist. The conservatory is filled with orchids right now, and we'll talk about caring for them and other tropical plants. Do you have a houseplant with a problem? Is your orchid not flowering? That's my problem. You can help out, or we can help out. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So Terry and Colton, how are you? Go ahead and talk, guys.
Hey, Jill. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Considering how darn cold it is, I bet you like your job right now, huh? Being in that conservatory?
Yeah, it's a perk, that's for sure.
Okay. Colton, can we hear you?
Yes, hey. Okay, Jill, good. Thanks for having us on.
You betcha. So there was no orchid show at Old Brick this year, right? But the conservatory is still filled with orchids. Colton, was the orchid escape the result of the orchid show not going on?
Well, actually, last year was our first annual orchid escape, which sort of runs in conjunction with Orchid Quest, which is the weekend-long event that the Orchid Growers Guild throws on. So this year we went ahead and still put on Orchid Escape, which runs the entire month of February.
Okay. Terry, how many different species can people see right now in the conservatory?
There's a good amount of different species represented. I would say we have about, there's a lot of hybrids, so not true species in that sense, but we have a number of different genera. And about 400 or so different orchids that we bought in. And then in addition to that, we have orchids from Old Brick's own collection integrated into the Orchid Escape as well.
So you say you brought them in. Where do you get orchids?
So it's a bit detailed, but we use a broker down in Florida who has a number of relationships with growers all over the United States, out in California and Hawaii. And so I kind of just let him know what I'm looking for, types of colors, forms, and then he makes it all happen. And then we get it when we need them.
Wow. I didn't realize it would be so complicated. So how long have you been working on this then? Is it a year-round thing?
Yeah, it kind of takes about a year to get going, but we really pick up planning and stuff around late summer. So.
Okay. Now, Colton, what are the hours and the dates for the show so everybody knows when they could come?
So the hours are, we're open 7 days a week, and the conservatory is open 10 to 4, as well as on Wednesday and Saturday mornings from 10 to noon, it is free admission.
Great. Otherwise, it's, was it $6 for non-members? Is that right?
Yeah. It's $6 for non-members, and yeah, members get in free all the time.
Okay, great. And it's going through the entire month of February, correct?
Correct. So it'll end technically on Sunday, January 28th.
All right. So we definitely have to get over there before it's gone. And I mean, I'm assuming the reason is because that's when all the flowers are going to look the best. Is that right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we do have a couple of callers that have questions for us. So let's go to Linda right now in Fox Crossing. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
What's your question? Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
I should go ahead. We have clivia, and we've had them for, 10 years probably. And the problem I'm having is that it overgrows in a pot, and then I don't know if we're supposed to divide it. We divided it once about 5 years ago maybe, and that one's growing, but it's not out of the pot yet. But the other one is so, I have so many shoots coming up, and it's solid roots in there. How do I divide it, and how often are we supposed to divide it?
Colton, that's probably one for you.
Yeah, it's always hard to tell because, you know, some people's clivia thrive and others are, you know, slow going, but generally we go with around every 3 years, something will get repotted or divided. But obviously that can be more or less depending on the plant, more frequently, less frequently. What we use are, like, we have some root saws, so we'll actually just really go to it, just shaving off. You could even just shave off from the, you know, perimeter of the plant, and so it would still sort of fit in your normal plant. But you'll find that they're probably more robust than you think. They're not as fragile, and they can take quite a bit of kind of breaking up and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I would say, you know, if it's growing out of the pot, then, yeah, that's a perfect example of a plant that needs repotting.
So she should take it out of the pot and cut it up, basically, and then repot it into different pots. Okay. Sure. And then her other question was about what's the best way to keep it over winter? So what tips do you have for winter care?
Well, like Clivia specifically, like a sort of dry period. So the winter is a good time to go a little bit drier with those. That also, like, it kind of initiates the flowering. But I'd say just keep things in as sunny a spot as you can. As most of you know, like in Wisconsin, the light, the quality of light and like duration of light is so much lower. So you'll want to try to keep it in a sunny spot and definitely let things go a little bit drier in between watering, I think. So yeah, that's my...
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for the question, Linda. Much appreciated. Next, let's go to Rhonda in La Crosse. Hi, Rhonda. What's your question? Rhonda, you there? Oh, okay. I guess we lost her. Okay. Well, let's go back to talking about orchids because, as I said earlier, I have a bunch of them and they're doing lovely, except that they're not producing flowers. I'm sure you hear that a lot, Terry. What's usually the problem there?
Okay, yeah, I do hear this one quite a bit. The main thing is usually light. So orchids need light. That's the way that they basically produce their food. And so a lot of times if an orchid is not blooming for you, the first thing I think of is it's maybe not getting enough light. So you want to make sure that orchids are near a window usually to get them the most light. An east window or a south window is usually ideal depending on the species. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that a lot of the common moth orchids or the Phalaenopsis, which, you know, most people now know about, they need a slight cool period to initiate a bloom. And so, you know, think about in nature, there's usually some sort of hardship that a plant goes through to sort of mark a season or something like that. And so for the Phalaenopsis, a cooler period is usually what initiates that bloom cycle. So in the greenhouse here, I have the orchids at like 80 degrees Fahrenheit during the day, going down to about 60 or so at night. And that usually is enough of a difference between the day and the night temperature. So to achieve that in the house, it would be ideal to put it sort of next to a drafty window or something like that in the fall. If you have one room that you can sort of isolate and you are okay having the window open, just to kind of drop the temperatures, that can be another way to initiate the bloom.
Oh, well, I do have my windows in the south and the east, so at least I'm doing that right. So that's where they are. But I think it's maybe not getting that cold. Yeah. I will see what I can do on that one. And just wanted to let people know, too, that you guys made a really nice little video that shows the orchids in the conservatory. And I did make a link to that on our page on our website. So it's WPR.org/Larry, and then below this the program note for today, you'll see a link to that video, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I was there about 2 weeks ago and missed the orchid show, unfortunately, but wow, it's amazing. So Colton, what is your part in doing that orchid show? or that orchid, whatever you want to call it.
There are orchid exhibit. It's really a team effort. There's four people on our team. So between growing the supplemental tropical plants that are displayed in the show and just sort of working through all the logistics and, anything you can think of, we're all sort of kind of working on it. But yeah, this is definitely a project that kind of Terry has headed up and is something we are proud to offer in February, which is typically a month when people really just want to see green and see flowering things.
Yeah. Especially right now. Now, I think we can't really talk about it unless we also address the COVID problems and the separation. So explain, Colton, what you guys are doing to make sure people are safe in the conservatory.
Yeah, so we're definitely taking safety precautions into our sort of day-to-day there at Olbrich. Everyone is still required to wear a mask within the conservatory. And we are limiting capacity to closer to 25%, even though regulations say we can have up to 50%. We're keeping it lower just to take that extra precaution. And there's hand sanitizer posted at all the entries. And so we're just kind of, those are the steps we're taking.
And I know when I was there, people were being extremely cautious about not, bunching up together and trying to walk separate. So everybody's pretty well aware of what's going on, and they were limiting it really well. So, yeah. So kudos there, guys. We're talking with Terry Hodge and Colton Blackburn from the Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. Why don't you join in the conversation? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our on-air producer today is Laura Pavin, and Tyler Ditter is our technical director. This is Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us every Friday or listen again on Saturday mornings at 6. You can also go online and listen at any time. Coming up next week on Garden Talk, Diana Alfuth and Kevin Chesso will be back to talk about the increased demand on seed companies during the pandemic. Right now, we're talking about tropical plants. Colton, that kind of reminds me, are you guys having any problems getting any plants for the conservatory because everybody is now gardening and bringing houseplants home?
Yeah, that's a good question. We typically don't do any of our tropical plant orders, with exception of the orchids, until summer when it's just an easier time to ship them. Right. Because usually they're coming from our more subtropical areas of Florida or California and those kind of places. But I know Amanda, who's our production, she does all our production and grows all the outdoor plants for the gardens. There's been a bunch of delays on seeds even. And she's getting crunched in within her timeline to get all the plants produced for spring and summer.
Yeah, she's not alone. I've been hearing that from a lot of people. Well, let's go to Jason in Appleton. He's got an orchid question. Hi, Jason.
Hello. My question is really just revolves around kind of getting into this. How would you pick out a good orchid when you're at the store looking at a bunch of them?
Great question. What do you say, Terry?
Yeah, so it is a good question, Jason. So the way that I kind of approach this is I look at the plant, I feel the leaves, if they're nice and firm, they have a nice, green color. That's a pretty good sign. You can look at the flowers to see if they look nice and plump and fresh versus sort of dehydrated. And then if you can, it's a good idea to kind of look at the roots as well. So you want to have nice, plump roots, nothing that looks brittle or soggy or anything like that. And if you find all of those things, you'll be in pretty good shape with your choice.
As far as flowers go, Terry, is it better to get flowers that are not all the way open, like there's buds at the very end?
Yeah, so that's kind of just a preference. So if you get an orchid plant that has just buds that aren't exactly open yet, you'll have it longer, basically, in bloom. So that's one of the strategies that we use when we bring plants in for orchid escape. because they have to last the whole month, we prioritize orchids that are just in bud so that then they'll slowly open and peak around the middle of the month before they fade away near the end of the show.
Okay, great. Thanks for that. Thanks for the question, Jason. Let's go now to Jane in Milwaukee. Hi, Jane.
Hi there. I have a question about growing orchids under lights. I've been doing that, and I wondered what's the optimum length of time that they should be under every day? And also, when I want to move them then to the rest of the house, should that be done? And I've tried it. I usually just move them once they're blooming. But, you know, any ideas about keeping, making sure they keep blooming when they're moved, or and also the humidity that's best for orchids?
Okay. So I heard, I think, three questions, and I'm going to try to answer them for you here. So for orchids under lights, you got to remember that a lot of the orchids that we grow in our homes are tropical. So at the equator, day length and night length are about equal. I have orchids at my home under lights, and I try to strive for a little bit longer of a day. So I go for about, I think right now, maybe like 14 to 15 hours of light, and then dark after that. And I do the same thing as you, where I kind of keep them under there in a more optimal condition until they bloom, and then I take them out, you know, to the other parts of my house to enjoy them. Depending on how long it's in bloom, you should be fine to just move it out from underneath the lights and enjoy it without much harm done to the plant. And then there was a third question that I'm forgetting at the moment.
Humidity.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that's really tricky, especially here in Wisconsin where we have really cold winters, because a lot of us have central heating, which just destroys humidity levels. There's a couple different things you can do. You can do the old humidity tray trick where, you know, you have some gravel in a tray and then you place the plants on top of the gravel and add a little water. Grouping your plants is another way that you can increase humidity. And ideally, you would want something around at least 50% for Phalaenopsis, although mine are doing okay with lower than that. So, but I in the greenhouse here, I keep things around 70, but that's easy because I have a fog system. So,
excellent. Okay, thank you very much for that call, Jane. Next up, we have Pam in Whitewater. Hi, Pam.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm calling about a lipstick plant that I inherited from my mother that I am killing. I've got conflicting information on how to care for it. I recently read that in nature it grows in the crotches of trees and that I should use African violets soil. And I have it in a south window, and I'm not sure how much moisture to give it.
Colton.
All right. So we actually have some of those growing in the conservatory, and I have some even in some hanging baskets. But they, yes, like very free, like draining like media. So I even do like half orchid bark, and I'll use like a classic size or even like a little bit larger than that. And it sometimes goes by power if you use Orchiata. And just mixing that with your regular potting soil. But they like to stay relatively moist, but again, to have like free, like you don't want the soil retaining a ton of moisture. So they like, and they like ambient like humidity as well. So that might be a tricky house plant. But I think like as long as you can kind of leg it along through winter, once sort of the warmer months come, you'll find that it'll do a lot better.
Yeah, I have a lipstick plant right now in bloom, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It's really pretty, and I just keep it by the window, and it works there. So even though I'm bad at orchids, apparently lipstick plants I'm okay with. Thank you, Pam, and good luck with that. Now, is it possible for her to root that plant if it's starting to die on her? Can you do that? They seem like they would be able to.
Yeah, that's a plan. As long as you're taking like sort of the newer growth, the vegetative growth, mm-hmm. you could take cuttings of that and just kind of stick them right into you can buy a cuttings mix, but it's just generally a little more free draining, so it has some probably more perlite added in there. And just keep them moist, and like you could create a little dome for them or something. And then you'll find that they just root, they'll root right up.
Okay, well, great. Now let's go to Ross in Middleton. Hi, Ross.
Hey, guys. I think there's a simple question. If I'm out walking in Wisconsin's natural areas and I see a flower, how would I know if it's an orchid? And then maybe another question would be, are there native orchids that aren't too difficult to grow in one's garden?
Terry?
Yeah, I'll take a shot at this question. So orchids are usually recognizable by the different features that they have in their flowers. So they usually have groups of three petals and three stipules. And then one of those petals is sort of what we call a labellum or a lip. And so you might have to Google that to see what it looks like. But those are pretty indicative of an orchid. And then you also have something called a column, which is just sort of a fusion of the male and the female parts. Whereas like in a lily, those are all kind of separate. In the orchids, they are fused together into a central column. So if you were to look online at a picture of, you know, an orchid, though, you would be able to find those features in any orchid you come across. So,
and as far as letting or getting native orchids to grow in our garden, it's a little tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can't speak too much on this because, believe it or not, we don't have many native orchids in our collection, and so I know that they can be a bit tricky, but I just can't speak too much on those. Sorry
sure.
about that.
And Ross, I believe we've got Neil DeBoel coming on in about 2 weeks. So you could call and ask about that, too, because I know they do sell some, I think, like lady slippers, that type of thing. So Neil should be able to help you out with that. So good luck. Thanks for the call. If you have a question for Terry or Colton, give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. You can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take some of those emails right now. Kara from Brownsville emailed us to ask if either of you have heard of using Epsom salt or ammonia as a way to boost nutrient intake for plants. She wants to know what you think about that. Have you guys heard about it?
Yeah, I can jump in. So actually this year in the orchid collection, I started supplementing with what's essentially Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate, once a month. And that's just to kind of boost magnesium. So magnesium is a central piece of the chlorophyll pigment. And so it just helps the plant have a nice deeper color and then harvest the light a little bit better. And so that's the reason that I use it for the orchids, at least.
So that's once a month. And how do you apply it then?
I mix it in about, I think the dilution rate is about a teaspoon per gallon. And okay. Then just once a month.
Splash it in there when you water.
Yeah, and that's a pretty high dose. You could probably do half of that if you're inside. I have a greenhouse, so I have a lot of light, so the plants can just assimilate it. But
sure. Colton, do you do that with any of the other plants in the conservatory?
I think we do it with some of like our more acid-loving plants. So like we'll use it with a gardenia and we'll even just apply it to sort of the top, like the powder, the ammonia Epsom salts. We'll just apply it to the top of the soil media or around the base of the plant. It's pretty easy.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kara. And Ellie from Madison emailed. She says that after repotting her orchids a couple weeks ago, her apartment was overtaken with fungus gnats. Can potting material be contaminated with fungus gnat larvae? And how can she get rid of these bugs? Have you run into that, Terry? Go ahead.
So for orchids, I have not really had an issue with fungus gnats. Here in the collection, I know that in the production house, you know, with more peat-based mixes, that can be an issue, and there can be contamination. What we usually do is place out sticky cards to be able to like trap them. They're attracted to that. And then the other thing is you can let your plants dry out a little bit more. The larva and the fungus gnats don't really like a drier media. So that's another option. I don't know, Colton, if you have any ideas for control besides those.
Yeah, I think the biggest and easiest one is just letting your plants go a little drier between watering, and that'll sort of knock down your fungus gnats.
Okay, good luck, Ellie. John from Chippewa Falls emailed to ask how to water a moth orchid. When he got his, it said to water with ice cubes. Is that the best way to do it? Also, how can he fertilize it? Terry?
Okay, yeah. So this is another common question I get, watering with ice cubes. And the thing is, I think that ice cubes can help some people get over one issue with orchids, which is overwatering. So that's the sort of the number one issue when it comes to orchid trouble. And so by using ice cubes, you know, you're limiting the amount of water that you're giving the orchid, so you don't risk overwatering. That said, the orchids don't really like cold water. You know, a lot of these are tropical plants, especially the Phalaenopsis. And so what I like to do with my plants at home is allow them to sort of dry down a bit. So kind of just scratching the surface. If you have sphagnum, it'll look a little lighter in color. If it's bark, it'll also look lighter. And I actually soak them in a bowl for about 10 to 15 minutes in some nice warm water. And then I take them out and let them drain off. That's the way I do it, as a way to sort of conserve water. You can also just simply run water through them just like you would any other plant. For fertilizers, I recommend something that is specifically geared towards orchids. So there's a number of different brands on the market, but if you get a good quality orchid fertilizer and just follow the instructions, then you'll be in pretty good shape.
Okay, great. Thanks for that email. And let's go back to the phones. Cynthia in Middleton has a question for you. Hi, Cynthia.
Hey there. So I was calling because we have a either a ponytail palm or elephant knee, I think I've heard it called. And it's about 10 feet tall. And when we realized it had not been thriving, we're kind of inspecting and discovered that there were no drainage holes in the pot that we had put it in about 3 or 4 months ago. And so we drilled holes in the bottom, and the water that came out was so stinky and rotten. And so I'm just wondering if I should flush it through with fresh water or just let it dry out completely, how to get it to thrive again.
What do you think, Colton?
Well, it sounds like, yeah, so it sounds like you might have, there might even be some like root rot or different things going on because it was just sitting in water. I would recommend even just repotting it and getting a new, like using a new new media altogether. That'll get like sort of all that dead root material out of there, as well as like you'll just be starting kind of from a clean slate.
So it's 10 feet tall. Do you have any tips for her to do that?
The ponytail palm, I would suggest if you have a space, you can like lay it down, like maybe even lay out sort of like a tarp or something that you can sort of lay the palm down, take the pot off, and just sort of wrestle with the, like kind of cleaning off the roots. You know, just get your fingers in there and sort of untangle it. And you'll be able to tell what like a rotted root is. It's, you know, they're usually just kind of very flimsy and will break off. And so you'll want to like kind of get all that out of there. And then I would suggest just using like a sort of palm soil mix. It might even need to go into a smaller pot. But otherwise it will be, you know, just kind of pack it back in there with fresh media.
Okay, sounds good. If you've got a call about or a question about tropical plants or orchids, give us a call, 800-642-1234. We've got a couple of lines open, so if you've been waiting, now is your chance. You can also take emails, ideas@wpr.org. Now, Terry, you had mentioned that you don't get too many of like the little bugs and stuff, but what are orchids susceptible of getting, especially in a home environment?
Yeah, so in a home environment, you can have things like scale insects, which are sort of like, sometimes they'll look brown with a little covering over them. They don't really move much. So that's an issue. Sometimes you could encounter aphids. One of the things that I have an issue with here in the greenhouse are thrips, which is a really small, very tiny, very insidious insect that is very hard to control. Hopefully you don't get those. And so those are just some of the insect pests that orchids can encounter. But that said, orchids in general are pretty resistant to insects compared to some of the other softer fleshed plants.
Okay. So Colton, I would imagine that the conservatory in general, you have to be pretty vigilant about looking for that, don't you?
Yeah. And we over time, we definitely recognize there are certain plants hibiscus and even gardenia and things in the citrus family that will, we know in winter, there will be a hot spot for whitefly or something like that. And we'll use, that's the kind of one we know to ramp up our beneficial insect program. But then we also just, use different, in the conservatory, we don't spray any chemicals, but we either manually clean the plants or just remove or thin them. We're always dealing with pests to a certain degree.
Okay, well, let's go back to the phone. We've got Barbara in Germantown who has a question. Hi, Barbara.
Hi. I have a question in regards to my voodoo plant. I keep the bulbs in the basement in a box over winter time. I did not check them early enough this year. So one of them sprouted out, and it's about 23 inches long by now. But it's laying sideways. And because of no light, it's also snow white. If I put them under lights, will that plant straighten out and turn green?
Colton, are you familiar with a voodoo plant?
I'm guessing that's a type of Amorphophallus bulb. I think if I haven't actually grown anywhere, I have grown them in the dark, but I think as long as you sort of I think it will grow. If you put them under lights, they will sort of redirect themselves and grow up. And you'll want to ease them into, you won't want to expose them to too much light too fast, or then you'll experience burning. So I'd say just even start with, or have them far spaced from the lights.
And then just bring it a little closer every couple of days.
Yeah, so I'd say start with an hour or two or sporadically, have the lights come on for just 30 minutes or so. Did you have another question? Will it straighten out and will it be okay under light?
I think that was it. I think we got it. Okay. Well, thank you for that question, Barbara, and good luck with it. Next we have Alice in Gays Mills. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I have an orchid question. Some of it was addressed a little bit when you talked about how you watered your own orchids at home. I have quite a few, and I've had them a long time, most of them. They do very well. They continue to bloom. They bloom a long time. They're sitting in a south window with a lot of light. Occasionally, when it's been very hot and we have been away, I've moved them to a dining room table so they weren't in the direct sunlight. But mostly they stay in that window the year round, and they continue to bloom. But some of them develop yellow to brown leaf tips, and then it keeps on traveling back toward the base of the leaf. And then I tend to cut that off because it's unsightly. Does that mean that the plant is beginning to die? How long lived can an orchid be that you keep in your home? The other part of my question was, misting. I've cared for other people's orchids a few times, and they had a very regimented way of how many minutes they poured water into the pot, etc., and
put them in the sink and misted them and everything. And for the most part, I've not done that. But I wonder if the leaves really do need misting or wetting themselves rather than just pouring a quarter cup of water once a week in the pot, which is the instructions I got when I bought them. That's what I've always done. And it seems to work, but I think I maybe can do better.
Okay. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, so a question for you. Are the orchid leaves that are turning yellow, are they lower leaves or are they newer leaves? Lower, older, or are they new leaves?
Alice?
Probably lower, older, but maybe middle leaves even. Yeah, I don't know if they're... It just happens periodically with one or the other.
Okay.
Yeah, so older leaves that sort of turn yellow and then eventually dry out, that's not too much of a concern as long as you're seeing nice new growth from the top. One thing that I would be interested is for you to look at some of the roots that are on those orchids that are doing that and see if they're in good health. Sometimes yellowing of leaves can be a result of some root issues. It could also be an accumulation of different minerals. So another option would be to try to flush the pots out with water, running water, for a bit longer. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. And then in terms of misting, misting can be beneficial for orchids. The thing is, it increases humidity. I think that's why most people do it, but it's pretty short-lived. So it's kind of hard to say if it's totally necessary. I don't think it's going to hurt your plants. But yeah, that's my two cents on that.
Okay, great. Thank you for that call, Alice. Let's go to Donna in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Donna. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I have had orchids for a long time, and periodically they get a sticky substance on the leaves, and it drips off or dries up into little nodules on the leaves and so on. And it doesn't seem to affect their blooming, but I don't particularly like the look of it, and I think they must have something or other that they don't like.
What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, so... you say that they develop sort of sticky spots, and then those just kind of stay. Do they stay sticky?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing that comes to mind with any sort of like stickiness on orchid leaves is some sort of insect issue. So insects like aphids or mealybugs or scale, they are sucking plant juices out, and they have a lot of waste, and their waste is actually quite sugary, and so that's where the stickiness usually comes from. That's what I'm inclined to think this might be, but it seems like you take pretty good care of your plants, and you would probably see if there was insects on them, so I'm not totally sure here.
Okay, well, thanks, Donna. I mean, I suppose that she could always maybe submit that to one of the UW labs to check out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she could, or, you know, you could just send a photo, I think, to them, or you could just assume there is some sort of insect infection and clean the leaves up with some sort of soap or something and see if it gets better that way.
Okay, great.
Some
thanks.
Of the orchid buds will, like, secrete, you know, they'll kind of, secrete a, like, sugary sap, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep.
Okay. All right, great. Colton Blackburn and Terry Hodge are our guests on Garden Talk today. They both work at the conservatory at Ulbrich Botanical Gardens. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us again on Monday when we'll talk about the role technology is playing in dealing with the pandemic. And we'll also look at efforts to get more girls and women to participate in computer science education programs. That's Monday starting at 11 on the Ideas Network. And right now we're talking about tropical plants. And we've got a number of callers. But I wanted to ask you, Colton, because like I said, I was there not too long ago, and the conservatory just looks, it always looks so nice. What is the mechanics behind keeping the temperature up? I mean, on a day like today, it's got to be crazy hard to do. How does that work?
Oh, yeah. So we are lucky that we have an environmental control system. The system we use is called Wadsworth, but it basically has different like temperature and humidity aspirators throughout the conservatory and the greenhouses. And within all those spaces, it manages sort of the turning on and off of heat. In the greenhouses, we utilize floor heat. Basically, this time of year, all we're doing is running heat. It's just we're not having to vent or anything like that. So it's pretty much just heat is on. And whatever we get from solar gain also is like, so today is really nice that we get all that solar gain from just this nice sunshine.
Yes, even though it's so cold outside.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to those phones. And we've got Jerry in Prairie du Chien. Hi, Jerry. What's your question?
Hi, this is Jerry Cummings. I have I've volunteered Jack in the Pulpit in my yard. I've harvested the seeds. They're brilliantly red. I'd like to know how to replant the seeds so I can continue to have Jack in the Pulpit in the area.
Have either of you worked with Jack in the Pulpit at all?
No? I have not.
Okay. Terry, you have you? Oh, I think Terry just froze up a little bit. Yeah. Go ahead. Nope, apparently not. I can tell you, Jerry, that I have tried just broadcasting the seeds, and it doesn't work. So obviously, I don't know either. Again, I would say check back in with us when we talk with Neil DeBull in a couple of weeks. He, I believe, does sell those plants or seeds, and so he would know better as to how to propagate them. So give us a call back then. So thanks for the question, though. Let's go to Nancy in Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
I have a neighbor across the street, and people give her orchids, and they bloom, and then when they're finished blooming, she calls me up, and I go across the street, and I get her orchids. Well, right now I'm sitting here on my table, and there's a south window here, and for at least over 3 weeks, this beautiful, beautiful purple orchid has been, let's see, there's about 13 blossoms on it right now, and it's just so happy. And when the weather is nice, I will wrap it up and I will take it right across the street, and I will let my neighbor Joy see her plant, how it resurrected again. When I got it was all dead, kind of like, and when I got it back, and it grows so pretty and it looks so beautiful, and it just is looking at the sun through the window here, and she sees her beautiful plant.
Oh, great. Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, thanks for that report. Some of those orchids can get amazing amount of number of flowers on them, can't they, Terry?
Oh, yeah. And of course, it depends on the type of hybrid or the species, but there's some that do have very, very beautiful inflorescences with many different individual flowers.
I saw some of the pictures in the video, and you have quite a few that do just have sprays of orchids on them. Yeah, just
yep, gorgeous. Yep, we sure do.
Next up is Rosalyn in Wausau. Hi, Rosalyn.
Jill, you do a very nice job. Enjoy listening to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What can we help you with?
I have a ponytail plant, and right now I have it on top of the refrigerator, kind of off. It gets east sun, and when I want, and I'm wondering if it's going to have any plants coming from it, and also watering. I usually just water it with my leftover cup of coffee.
Oh, really?
Well, that's new.
Colton, have you heard about caffeine for many plants?
I have not heard. I think I've heard of sometimes people using like leftover like coffee grounds as a way of like adding organic matter, but I've never heard of watering with coffee. So that's new for me. You'll have to let me know how it's working for you.
So she was wondering, is that enough light, an east window for a ponytail plant?
It's probably not ideal, but I think it'll be fine through the winter as long as you move it into a sunnier location in the like spring, summer, and fall. Because a lot of our house plants don't get quite enough light in winter unless you're like supplementing with lights, overhead lights. And then like whether or not it'll get new plants, I think that'll just come with time, whether or not they'll like send out a new kind of like pop, but, so yeah, just keep watching it.
Okay. Thank you, Rosalyn. Let's go on to Jeanette in Wausau. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
What's your question?
I would like to ask about the aloe plant I have. It has so many babies, it's crowding the pot, and I'm afraid to, I went and I pulled them out, and they die. So I don't know how to transplant them or what I can do about it.
Well, lots of people have problems with overcrowding on aloe plants, don't they? What's the best way of taking them apart, Colton?
So with like any of those aloe pups, they almost need like to be hardened off. So when you separate them, you're just going to let them sort of like just leave them in open air for a few days. And that sort of calluses them over. And then whatever mix you sort of stick them in, you want it to be very like free draining as well, because they are like a succulent. That, you know, doesn't need to be sitting in, doesn't need to have water that retains a ton of moisture.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jeanette. We got an email from Joe in River Falls. He has a phalaenopsis that has been doing well in a container for the past 2 years, but he thinks it might be time to repot it. It has lots of aerial roots dangling all over the place. What should he do with the extensive aerial roots when he repots it? Terry?
Yeah, so congratulations. If it's having a lot of aerial roots, that means you're doing something right. But it probably is time for it to be repotted. We usually recommend every 2 years or so, as the media breaks down, the orchids kind of start to get unhappy. So when you repot, just find a nice orchid mix. You can find those online. And what I would suggest is keeping the orchid roots that are already in a mix in the mix. And then you can just let the aerial roots still dangle in the air. The reason for this is the roots sort of, they evolve based on what they're in. And so those aerial roots are sort of evolved right now to be in the air. So if you were to put them in a media that's a different environment, most likely they would kind of rot away. So as much as you can, try to keep the roots that are in your mix in the new one and let the aerial roots just be in the air.
So I've got a question, and thank you for that one, Joe. So my orchid is like the roots are clinging to the side of the pot. So mm-hmm. when I come to repot it, do I just have to break the pot, or how do I pull those things off there?
Yeah, so this is another good question. Orchids are typically, a lot of them are epiphytes, so they're really used to holding on to trees. And so that's what's happening right now, Jill, with your orchid. The roots are clinging to that pot to try to hold on. It can be tricky when you go to repot this, but one quick tip that I have is to really soak the plant to allow those roots to get wet. And that kind of makes them a bit more pliable. And usually you can kind of slide them free from the pot at that point.
Well, that's a great idea. I wouldn't have thought about that. I would have lost my pot because I would have definitely broken it. And real quick before we go to the news, Colton, do you have a favorite plant in the conservatory?
Oh, boy. I even knew this question was coming and I was trying to...
What about you, Terry? Since Colton can't think of one, do you have a favorite orchid?
Well, they kind of shift, I think, with the seasons. But right now, I'm really interested in Phragmopedium orchids, which are a tropical lady slipper orchid. So we have natives here, but that one is from areas down in South America. So pretty cool.
Very cool. Colton, did you come up with one yet? I was impressed with the citrus that you have there. You've got oranges in there.
Yeah, we have a lot of citrus. I'm always a fan of citrus. The Meyer, like our lemon and our key lime and all those are kind of in bud and in fruit right now. So those are neat to see.
Okay, well, I won't put you on the spot anymore. That's okay. We've been talking with Terry Hodge and Colton Blackburn from the Old Brick Botanical Gardens in Madison. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm in for Larry Mueller today. Make sure you stay with us because there's always more to come. Orchids and other tropical plants are our topics today on Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau on the Ideas Network. Our guests this week are from the Old Brick Botanical Gardens in Madison. Colton Blackburn is the conservatory curator and Terry Hodge, the conservatory and orchid horticulturist. What would you like to know about orchids? Or maybe are you having problems getting them to rebloom? Do you have a question about houseplants? Join in the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And we did get Dora Lee emailed us to tell us that regarding the Jack in the Pulpit plant that we had the question about earlier, she said you need to bruise the seeds a bit after you broadcast them. So you have to step on them and break the outer skin. Makes sense, right? Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Dora Lee. We appreciate that. And let's go right back to the phone. Sue in Brookfield has a question. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I have wild orchids in my yard. I've lived here 25 years, and they're real unusual. I brought a sample to the extension office. They identified them, and I can't even remember the name anymore because it's been so long. But if I could grow this orchid, I would be really happy because I can almost grow anything. So that's not the problem. It's the flower is only like a quarter inch in size, and they're multiples on single stems. They have orchid-type leaves, and they're pink. And I've tried to transplant them. I've tried to use the seeds. There's just not any luck. They just grow where they want to.
this sounds like something maybe you guys aren't quite sure. It's outside orchids again. Any experience with that?
Not much. What I can say is that I know that they can be pretty finicky, and that makes sense that you're having a hard time sort of moving them or transplanting them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I that's probably a question for someone who specializes in more native plants. And we do have, again, Neil is going to be with us in a couple of weeks. And then Sue Carpenter from Arboretum is going to be with us the week after that. So we'll have plenty of chances to ask about those native flowers. So thanks so much for that call. Let's go now to Amy in Waupun. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
What's your question?
Hi. I have a, should I turn off my radio?
Yes, please, if you can, but keep talking.
Okay. I have a mandevilla in a pot that I put, it's about 5 years old. I put it outside all summer. And then in the fall, I cut it down and put it in the basement and I water it. And usually it looks like it's, I forget to water it a lot of times. So it looks like it's half dead when I bring it out in the spring, but it revives and comes too. This year, though, it's got big long runners all over, and I want to know if I should cut those off. They look very spindly. They, you know, small leaves and long, like a couple feet long.
Yeah, which one do you guys want to tackle that one? Colton?
Yeah, I can take that. Okay. Yeah, you can just cut that. You can cut that right off. A lot of those plants you can almost store, like, almost in a state of dormancy, which it sounds like you're already doing. So, you know, it'll flush out, like, with not such it sounds like there's, like, sort of stretching going on because there's not enough light and the leaves are really small. So I would just say cut those off until you have it, like, moved outside and it's starting to, you know, grow in its normal lush sort of setting.
Could she possibly start a new plant from those cuttings, or doesn't it grow that way?
You could. You could do it. That would be the same thing where you use those vegetative, you know, those vegetative tips. But again, if this is, like, already sort of stressed and, like, is just sort of being kept in the basement, you might have, like, mixed success with those, like, sort of new tips. Right.
Okay, sounds good. Next up, we have Wayne and Madison, who has something for us. Hi, Wayne.
Hello. I have two things. One is I got a comment on the Jack in the Pulpits. I've been raising Jack in the Pulpits for a long time, and they're a perennial. And so that Jack in the Pulpit will come up every year, and every year it's going to get bigger. And eventually the leaves will get to be about 2 feet across. It'll get huge.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
And then the seeds can be broadcast, and they'll come up that way. And somebody earlier said that to step on them, that would be a good idea. There are 3 seeds in each one of those red pods.
Oh, and, okay.
So you get 3 plants out of each one of those red seeds. And then I got a comment on the coffee. I have a, not an orchid, but I have a Christmas cactus. And it was given to me years ago because it wasn't doing well back in the mid-70s. I finally heard that the Christmas cactus grows in trees like orchids do. And maybe you guys can tell me that. But so then I decided, well, I'll get some orchid mix and I'll plant it in that and see how it does. And it perked up a great deal. And then I'm thinking, well, I heard of people making a tea out of compost and using the tea to water plants. So I just started giving it my leftover coffee in the morning, and it perked up some more. And now it's a beautiful Christmas cactus that I don't know how old it is, but I've had it for over 40 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Thanks, Wayne. Well, it sounds like you may be onto something with that coffee, huh, guys?
It's like just like that compost tea, I guess. I'll look into it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, with Christmas cactus, you're both nodding your heads that it does grow in trees. So was that a good idea for him to put it in a cactus soil mix soil mix?
Yeah, maybe? That sounds great. So, yeah, like a lot of the tropical cacti, like sort of like that Christmas cactus and sort of like what you see, dragon fruit, those are, epiphytic cactus. So they typically grow up in like the canopies of trees, and orchid mix provides that like perfect sort of well-draining media for that.
Well, speaking of Christmas cactus, I got to tell you, I was shocked looking at my Christmas cactus that just bloomed around Halloween, that it's blooming again. Is that common? I've never had that happen before.
I guess you're doing something great then.
I'm doing nothing, like, you know.
I think it's sort of multiple bloom sets in a year, I think.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm happy because it's beautiful, and I'm happy to see blooms any time of the year. Let's go up then to Tom in Madison. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
So I have a situation where my wife and I have had a jade house plant for over 45 years, and it's just been phenomenal in terms of its health. I think there's progeny all over the country. We've done so many cuttings. But lately, it's developed a scab, and it's dropping all its leaves. And you can imagine, after having something for 45 years, we're alarmed that we're going to maybe lose it. And we haven't changed anything in terms of its care. So I'm wondering if your guests might have some guidance for us as we try to deal with this issue.
Have either of you had jade experience, Colton?
We have some jade. I'm not sure if I can answer too well as to, like, if it has a scab, I guess that is, maybe it's sounding like it sort of runs systemically through it. I guess you could try taking cuttings of it and see. And I guess, when was the last time it was repotted or anything like that?
Tried that. We've repotted, cut it back, repotted with new cuttings. They typically root very, very easily, but whatever is happening to it, it keeps coming back even after fresh soil, after cutting it back and repotting. So we're perplexed.
Well, it kind of sounds like it's something that's, like, systemic within the plant. So even, like, the new cuttings have it already. So it might be something, like, that's either, like, bacterial or, but without knowing exactly what it is, I'm not totally sure.
And you know what you might want to think about doing, Tom, is contacting Brian Huddleston at the Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic here in Madison. You can send him a sample. You can send him a picture. I think there's a slight charge for it if you send him but just look up UW Plant Diagnostic, and you'll probably get all the information. So I would suggest you do that. Brian will be back with us in about a month, but you might not want to wait that long. So thanks so much, Tom. Okay. Peggy from Madison emailed us. She said that she brought her potted rosemary plant indoors with little success. It's in her basement near a window, but the needles have started to turn black, and she wants to know what she should do. That doesn't sound too good, does it?
I feel like, you know, you always see those sort of, like, Christmas tree topiary rosemaries around the holiday, and I've never had luck, bringing in rosemary. It's like Mediterranean in climate, so it likes it hot and dry. So I think maybe some things that happen with it coming in and, like, low light is that they probably get overwatered and could probably stand to just be left dry and in as, like, high of light as you can provide.
So maybe she should just start over. Yeah, you know what I do? I've got a rosemary plant I've had for almost over a year. Well, I think about over a year now, which got my fingers crossed because they are so picky. But I didn't put mine outside last year, so it didn't get used to having it so nice and sunny. So maybe that would be a thought, too. So I don't know. Good luck, Peggy. Those are hard. They're really, really difficult. Up next, we've got Mary in Brandon. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yes, I have many different kinds of orchids. Five of them are blooming now. I have a question about two of them. One, the Dendrobium novale. It's so huge. It's like 3 feet across. It's got about 30, 40 blooms on it at the moment. But how do I split these things? And then I have an Oncidium that's 9 years old that's also blooming. And part of it is all brown. Do I just cut that part off? And all of these plants I have, and then I have a pap that's falling out of its pot that's currently got two blooms, and a Cattleya. I repotted them all 2 years ago, and they're all outgrowing their pots. But the problem is I don't have enough room to keep just putting them in bigger pots. I need to do something with them. I mean, the one that's 3 feet across is just huge.
Yeah, that is pretty big. So you can definitely divide them up. And so for the Dendrobium, what you want to do is find the newest, like three or four, maybe even five canes, depending on how big you want to keep the plant. and then you could cut those off and then repot that. And then all what we call the back bulbs or the older growth, you could split those up and pot them as well. You could give them away to friends or anything like that. And that goes, that's the same for the Cattleya. You could want to keep like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 bulbs, the newest growth, and then you could either discard the rest, pot that up, or do whatever you want with it.
Are they pretty finicky? Do you have to be really careful when you're doing that kind of work?
Yeah, so orchids can be pretty finicky when you repot. It's essentially a type of surgery for the plant. And so you really want to have good sanitation, clean hands, clean cutting instruments. And so that's, you know, that's really important for orchids. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Be careful, just like you do when you go outside these days. We are talking with Colton Blackburn and Terry Hodge from the Old Brick Botanical Gardens. Do you have a question about the conservatory, how it works, how it runs, or do you have a question about your orchids or houseplants? We've got a couple open lines. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. So we do have a call here from Nancy in Verona. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. I know on Larry's show and then again today somebody mentioned problems getting Christmas cactus to bloom. And I've had great success with them through years. And what I do with them is I take and I set them outside in a shady place in the summer where they don't get direct light, and then just water them or let the rain take care of it. And leave them out until in the fall, until it's been 40 degrees or so for about a week at night, and then bring them in, and they will bloom for whatever season they are to bloom in. And I had one this fall that was about a 15-inch cactus, and it must have had 300 pink flowers on it.
Beautiful. Wow. Okay. Thanks for sharing that, Nancy. Appreciate it. We did get an email from Judy. She has 2 common variety orchids. She doesn't say which. She cut the stems way back after they stopped blooming. 2 years later, they still have not rebloomed. She wants to know what she should do. She says she waters with the ice cubes weekly and uses orchid fertilizer once a month. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, so I'm inclined to think that this is another light issue. So depending on where they are in your home, you could try to increase the light, move them a little closer to the window, being careful, you know, with winter temperatures. But yeah, most likely it's light. And if not, it might be the drop in temperature that we talked about at the top of the show.
Okay. And I was going to ask you, too, when it comes to the orchids, oh, you know what? I just totally lost my train of thought on that one. Sorry, guys. I'm sure it'll come back because it was a very important question. But we just got an email from Marit in Wausau. She called, but she couldn't stay on the line. And she had a suggestion for the rosemary plant situation. She says that if rosemary plant was, if it was outside and then in, it needed a transition period. So she suggests to put it under a growth light, and that helped hers. She also said it can't be too dry. I gotta agree with the can't be too dry, because I have a tendency to forget to water occasionally, and then the little needles start turning under, and I'm like, oh, I gotta do that, and it seems to be flourishing. So yeah, I think she probably hit it on the head there, right, with the herbs. You don't have any herbs in the conservatory, do you, Colton? You leave that for outside?
No, we don't have herbs, but we do have a lot of spices. So we have allspice, cinnamon, cardamom, nutmeg, clove. So a lot of your more tropical, herbs and spices.
And just as a promo, we're going to be talking to a woman who wrote a book on how to grow your own spices in your house. And that'll be coming up in about a month. So you might want to tune into that one, too, because the book is really interesting. So not an easy task, for sure. Do you ever harvest any of the things that you grow in the conservatory, Colton?
We do. And sometimes we have done some collaborations with like Working Draft Brewing. And even like we are beginning to do some collaborations with State Line Distillery, where they'll incorporate those into sort of spirits or some beers we've done.
Oh, Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, we got a call from Alex in Madison. Hi, Alex. What's your question?
Hi there. I have a Mexican lime tree. It's potted. It's about 3.5 feet tall. And I am struggling with watering. I wait until the top 3 or 4 inches of soil is dry, and then I watered. And this last time that I watered, probably 50 to 60% of the leaves dropped within a day. And so I'm wondering if there is strategy for watering over winter, and if those leaves are going to come back, or if I should prune some of those stalks that are now without leaves. I can take the answer off the air. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex.
Sure. Sure, yeah. So you've got a key lime, and so you get those really, like, small limes. But like the rosemary, this is a Mediterranean plant. So like one of the listeners commented, it can't go too dry. It's sort of like the same sort of strategy here. You probably want to let the plant go completely dry between waterings, especially in the winter, not just like the top 3 to 4 inches. But as far as, and usually I just kind of check that by picking up the plant. And sometimes you'll see like a little bit of flagging in like that newest growth, whereas like, you know, in the vegetative growth, you'll see just a little bit of a like sort of, I don't know, trying to think of the word if you don't know what flagging is, but.
kind of like wilting a little.
Yeah, like a little bit, there you go, a little bit of wilting. But I wouldn't prune it until it has started to push new growth. So, like, you'll start to see, like, almost, like, little, like, just at the little bud breaks, you'll start to see, like, what will be new leaves or a new branch. And I would wait until that kind of step before you prune back any of the stems. Because all the stems are still alive. It's just dropped the leaves.
Okay, great. And as far as fertilizing goes, we've heard different opinions from different guests, but do you think that it's a good idea to fertilize during the winter?
If your plant is actively growing.
Okay.
So, or if your plant has, like, if your plant, like, certain things like oranges or mandarins, this is sort of a time that they're more active. So I would suggest, if your plant is actively growing, to use fertilizer. Like my citrus plants at home have fertilizer on them, but I do use a slow release citrus formulated fertilizer for them. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay. Same thing for you, Terry, for orchids.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good point is, you know, orchids are using, even any plants are using those nutrients, when they're actively growing. So you see new growth, new roots and stuff. And so you can usually slow down or lighten up on your fertilizer when they're not doing those things.
Okay, great. Well, this has been a fun conversation. Just wanted to remind everyone to get over to the Olbrich Gardens Conservatory if you can. See that orchid show. It's amazing. And the conservatory itself is amazing because it feels so nice and warm and it looks beautiful. So thank you guys. We really appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Our guests today from the Olbrich Botanical Gardens have been Colton Blackburn, the conservatory curator, and Terry Hodge, the conservatory and orchid horticulturist. I hope you can join us on Monday when our tech expert will be back with us to take your questions. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for listening to the Ideas Network. Stay well and enjoy your weekend.